Welcome, everyone. This is the National Finance Committee meeting of Tuesday, June 9th, 2020. And we believe we have quorum. So, Mr. Secretary, will you call the roll?
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams.
Sharon's going to be late to this meeting.
Okay. Nick Arena.
Yes, she sent a notice.
Nick Arena.
Here. Nick Arena is here.
Teresa J. Allen.
Present.
Fred Blair.
Present.
Chris Corey.
Here.
Dwayne Lark.
Dwayne Lark is present.
Arpel Martin here. James Sagerton.
Here.
Anita Sims.
Here.
Nancy Sorden. Polina Vasilyev.
Presente.
Okay, that's nine, and that is certainly a quorum.
Very good. Okay.
Did you acknowledge Dwayne Lark is present?
Yes. I heard that. Did you hear that, Arpel?
Hear what?
That Dwayne Lark is present.
Yes, I got him in.
Very good. Okay. Do we have any minutes to approve?
Yes.
I believe I saw some.
We, in fact, have a pair. Wait, we haven't approved an agenda yet. Let's go approve agenda.
Oh, sorry. I skipped one. Okay, this is where we can do our rearranging and make some additions. Anyone want to go first?
Yeah, I would like to speak to not approving the agenda. This is Nick Arena.
Okay, Nick, go ahead.
Wait, could we? We don't have a motion on the floor. So if somebody wants to make a motion, then we can say, let's not approve it, but we need a motion. Somebody needs to make a motion.
Teresa Allen, can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Allen moves to approve the agenda.
Okay. So, James, can I speak to not approving the agenda?
Well, I don't believe we need a second.
We need somebody to read the agenda out for people listening.
Okay, so let's read the agenda, and then we will have discussion. We're on approve agenda, which is item number three. Item number four is minutes approval. Item number five is report from interim chief financial officer Anita Sims. That's 10 minutes for the report, 20 minutes for question and answers. We may not need that much. 5A, we have analysis of spreadsheets and narrative from NEDA with Director Chris Corey. That's 5 minutes. Number six, we have a motion from James Sagerton, which is 30 minutes. And I guess now I have to read the motion. Is that appropriate now, Paul? Yes.
You don't have to.
Okay.
I think everybody's seen it, but if other people object, they really want to hear it. If somebody objects, you can read it. But otherwise, we don't really need to yet.
All right. When we discuss it, maybe for the stream, we could read it. Okay. Number 6A is a motion from Director Chris Corey, 15 minutes. Same thing. We won't read that now?
Right.
Okay. Number 7 is a discussion of central services formula. Number 8 is discussion of the budgeting process, discussion to include returning to a functioning network-wide budget process through local finance committees, which we have not had for at least 4 years, and its relation to allocation of bequests. That's 20 minutes. And then 9 is discussion of reporting station financial activity to our accountants at NEDA, discussion to include use of uniform practices, for example, activities of local finance committees, red flag issues in our management letters over the years, etc. Use of the Mass 500 software, transparency of banking activity for NEDA and the foundation, etc. Number 10 is update on referred motion from the PNB on sideband revenues. 10 minutes, if available. The if available refers to whether or not Lydia will join us and whether she has an update. Update on the $80,000 transfer from KPFA, 10 minutes, again, if available. Number 12, discussion of the budgeting process to include returning to a functioning that's a misprint. And so number 12 would be new business, and number 14 is adjourned no later than 10:15 p.m. Eastern time.
Okay, Teresa for the stack.
Okay, Teresa. Anybody else?
Nick Arena for the stack.
Nick? Okay. Why don't we start with, and then Chris? Okay. Why don't we start with those three, and then we'll add if we need to. Go ahead, Teresa.
I move to add an item to discuss the $49,000 transfer from affiliates.
That would be the loan that the affiliates made to the national office?
Yes.
Where would you like to put that, Teresa?
Well, I would actually like to put it high enough enough on the agenda that it's actually discussed tonight.
Okay. Well, we can
have a recommendation.
Well, I did say to Anita, you know, we would take her first in case she has need to not stay on the call all night, but she may do that anyway. How would it be if we and I think Chris was saying maybe he should go first before Anita because that would make more sense. So how about if we do it between 5A and 6, right before item 6?
All right, fine.
Hold on. So item 6 is motion from James Sagert.
Right.
So you want to
right now it would go between it would be 5B, I guess, for now.
Okay, so you want to make that 5B. The name of the item is $49,000 transfer from affiliate.
Yeah.
How long?
Twelve minutes.
Is there any discussion on that?
Yes.
Nick?
Arena. Yeah, so I'm going to interject here, James. I think that the agenda is very well-meaning, and the item that's being proposed is well-meaning, but I think it's unrealistic for the time that we have to be able to discuss the other items on the agenda. And I'm going to say more when I have more time to talk about the agenda directly, but I just think a $40,000 item right now is not going to have enough time given the depth of the discussion that we have to have regarding items 2 through 6 right now.
Understood.
I would like
anyone else.
Are we going to have discussion of this before we decide up or down whether to add this to the agenda?
I think we have to discuss whether to do it, right? Pro and con on whether to actually do it?
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing.
Okay.
If no one else wants to speak.
I'm ready to.
Go ahead, Teresa.
Okay. I think it's not just a matter of $49,000. I think it's a habit we have when one of the stations can't make payroll. We just grab it from somewhere else. I think that Ursula Rudenberg went to Maxie Jackson and got a letter saying we are a separate financial unit, and it doesn't make sense for her to have a budget when people can just say, oh, well, we have an emergency elsewhere, with people that can't keep within their budget, okay? And it's not just a one-time thing. It's a repeated thing. So now she's in a situation where she's gotten a grant to have one of her employees, and it's restricted funds to pay that person's payroll, okay? And so we've taken the money from her budget. So if she wants to go to payroll, if she wants to make her payroll, she's going to be forced to go into restricted funds. That's not acceptable. She's
okay.
Trying
I think
to,
you're now arguing the merits of the question.
Right, but it
so,
but it needs to
I
be
guess you have to do that.
It's not
to
just a one-time thing. It's a general habit we have of borrowing, saying, "Oh, it's an emergency. We need to take your money," and we're doing it with KPFA also. So
you're still allowing her to get a point.
This is Anita. May I comment?
Anita, if you could try to keep your comments to whether or not we should have this on the agenda and where we should put it. I don't want to get into arguing the merits at this point, although I understand you have to a little bit.
Yeah, I'm just going to do it a little bit, only to hopefully help everyone feel better. Today, I did let her know that the funds were available in the national office, so she will be able to make payroll. Tamara and I have a call with her tomorrow at 4 to discuss her concerns.
Wonderful.
So payroll should be satisfied.
Teresa, does that give you any ideas about whether we need to keep this on the agenda?
That's fine, but I will. I hope we get to the item involving KPFA because I'll discuss it then. I think it's a... we're doing it in several places, so I'm looking. I'll take it off the agenda for now, but only for now.
Lovely, thank you,
Mr. Chair.
Oh, yes, sir.
Please ask if there's unanimous consent for that, because that's what you need. You probably will
yes,
get it.
That's appropriate. So, do we have any objection to removing for to allow? So removing this item from the agenda now, or removing it from consideration for being on the agenda.
Could you be specific what item?
It would have been item 6A, but it was never actually placed on the agenda. So do we really need to vote on that, R. Paul?
No. Does anybody object to Teresa J. Allen withdrawing that amendment?
Right, because it belongs to the body now, it's not just her. Okay, and I don't hear an objection. Does anyone have one? So hearing none, why don't we go on then?
This is Sharon. I'm on the call now.
Oh, thank you, Sharon.
Hi, James.
Hi. So, was there anyone else that had anything?
James, it's Nick Arena. I think I was next on the...
Yes, okay, back. Nick.
So
yes, you were.
I propose that we eliminate items 7 through 13 on the agenda and that we stop at 6A just based on the fact that we will not have enough time to discuss those items, and the items between the items on the agenda from 4 to 6A will exhaust the time between now and 10:15. And so I propose an amendment to the agenda that eliminates items from really items from 7 to 13 based on the fact that we just are not going to have time to discuss.
I think that's a practical suggestion, and I would just like to ask R. Paul. I put those additional items on the agenda in case we had time and to make everyone aware that we hadn't made any final disposition on those items. But if that's not appropriate in the future, do we want to just keep our agenda to fit within the time frame that we have?
That's perfectly allowable. The amendment is fine. If somebody wants to move to take out the some part of the agenda, that's fine.
Right. That wasn't what I was really asking. What I was asking is my practice now that I've done twice of adding more things on the agenda that we can possibly get to. Is that inappropriate?
Not necessarily, because some of this stuff stays there. Some stuff you might put into unfinished business in the future, but...
Good point.
Anyway,
understood.
Amendment is fine.
Okay, so any discussion on the amendment?
Mr. Chair, this is Paulina.
Yes, Paulina?
Are you suggesting that we eliminate all items starting with 7 and ending at 12? Did I understand you correctly, or did I mishear? Ending at 13. So is it just all items, 7, discussion of central services, 8, discussion of budgeting process, 9, 10, 11, 12, and 12 be eliminated? Or what's the proposal? I couldn't understand quite what you suggested.
Nick, do you want to respond to that?
Oh, no, sorry, it was Nick. Yeah, my bad. Yeah. Nick, please.
Yeah, I was proposing that we eliminate items 7 through 13 from the agenda.
Understood. Thank you.
Our call for something fast.
Go ahead.
Eliminate items 7 to 12 because item 13 is adjournment, and if we eliminate that, we could spend the rest of our lives on the call.
Yeah, just by way of explanation, there was a duplicate here that I was cutting and pasting, and I left a duplicate item in the agenda that didn't need to be there.
Yeah, I cut that off. So could I suggest maybe, you know, without needing an amendment and all of that, could we make it items 7 through 12?
That's okay with me. There's no objection. Very good.
Okay.
Hearing no other objection, any other discussion?
Yeah, James, I would request that we swap, what was it? It was 5 and 5A, as previously discussed.
Yes, okay. Well, we don't need to get to that yet because right now we're just eliminating everything from 6A on. So shall we finish that and then we'll go to you?
My apologies, James. You're right.
No worry. Okay, so is there any objection to Nick's motion?
Point of information?
Yes.
If we remove those, does that remove the one about the $80,000 with KPFA?
For this meeting, it would, and I'll take our Paul's suggestion next time and put it in for unfinished business or old business.
Is that acceptable to Chris and Sharon?
It's fine with me.
Yes, no objection here.
Sorry, any other discussion? That. Hearing no other discussion, let's go to a vote. So a yes would be to remove items.
Can I suggest that the chair ask if there's objection?
Yeah, I did. I said, is there any objection? I said discussion. So is there any objection to Nick's motion? Hearing none.
Nancy, could you please recap what we're...
Yeah, we're voting on whether or not to... A yes vote is to remove items 6A through 12 on the agenda because we don't think we'll have time to get to it.
Mr. Chair,
thank you.
7
through 12, I believe.
Point of procedural
relevance? Yeah. What's your point of order, Paulina?
Yeah, it's actually procedural. Would you mind asking the body if there are any objections, and hearing none, it's just adopted. We don't need to vote, right? We would need to
correct
vote on, later, you know, on the approving the agenda. Is that correct? Am I right?
Well, no. Right now, we're just voting on removing these items from the agenda. Then we have one more.
We don't need a vote if there are no objections, correct?
Correct.
Okay, good. Thank you.
And I believe that's where we're going. So I'll ask, is there any objection to Nick's motion to remove items 6A through 12?
I object. I think the request was removing 7 through 12.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. Thank you. Any objection? Hearing none, that's done. So now, is there any further change to the draft agenda?
I just had the suggestion which Anita I think seconded, that we swap 5 and 5A.
Is that your motion?
Yes, I move that we swap 5 for 5A.
Do I hear any discussion? Do I hear any objection? Hearing none, done. So now we can go and vote on the entire agenda as amended. Is there any objection to the draft agenda as amended? Hearing none, we're good. So now we will go to Chris for analysis of the spreadsheets.
Don't we go to number 4 at this point?
We did minutes approval. Oh, minutes approval. I'm so sorry. Yes, you're right. I'll get used to this. I apologize. So, Arpal, you said we had some minutes for approval.
Yes, we have. We have the minutes of the May 12th and the May 26th meetings.
And we don't have them on the agenda, but can we consider them read and accepted by everyone who received them because you sent them to the committee, and say that they're open for corrections at a later time?
Well, what we can do is make a motion to pass one, then make a motion to pass the other, and see how that flies.
All right. So, do you have a motion? Is that your motion?
Yes, I move to approve the minutes of the May 12th meeting.
Paulina seconds.
I don't think we do seconds in committee, is that right?
Oh, okay.
No big deal. So is there any objection to approving those minutes with the proviso that minutes are always subject to correction at a later date? Hearing none, do you have another motion, Arpal?
Yes, I move that we approve the minutes of the May 26th meeting.
Any discussion? Do I hear any objection to approving the minutes from the May 26th meeting? Hearing none, the minutes are approved. So now, finally, out of breath, we can go to Chris for analysis of the spreadsheets and the narrative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Okay, so earlier tonight, about an hour and a half ago now, I sent out the 430 report, which was earlier distributed to the entire committee, with some revisions and my usual markup that has year-to-date analysis of the period ending April 30th to the period ending April 30th of last year, which is the 2018 fiscal year. And I also sent out a Word document with that, which I'll just read through on the air so that people can hear it.
Could we hear what the names of these files are?
Sure. First of all, the attachment that it has a rather lengthy name, but hold on, I'll pull it. So The attachment, which contains the spreadsheet, is entitled Copy of Pacifica Financial Statements 43020 underscore CCREV dot XLSX, an Excel spreadsheet. And then the attached Word document is Pacifica underscore 43020 underscore analysis underscore CCC dot docx. Okay, so I'm just going to read through that second document, and you can use the spreadsheet as a reference document if you want to follow along, or if you want to look at it and review it later. They're intended as a pair. So, first of all, the consolidated report. The consolidated financial statement reflects a loss for Pacifica. Further, year-to-date listener revenues have declined 4%, which is a disturbing trend. Prior to this time, we had seen year-over-year listener revenue increase. So this report reflects a predicted deterioration in listener revenue due no doubt to COVID-19. The operating loss is actually narrower than last year. For purposes of analysis, I've eliminated all extraordinary items, so that's what I mean by operating, and I can explain that later in the discussion if we need to get to that. The improvement in operating results is due to a 5% decrease in expenses, which fell roughly evenly across all expense categories, excluding personnel. Revenues for the network will need to increase 8% or costs decrease 8% to bring the budget of the network back in line. The individual stations. KPFA. KPFA fell into a small loss in the review period due to a decline in fund drive revenue of 2%, coupled with increased costs of 7% during the review period. In order to bring the station's books into balance, revenue must increase 4% or costs must decline by the same amount, or some combination of the two. KPFK. During the first half of 2018, KPFK received a bequest which masked their operating losses, underlying operating losses. In 2019, when coupled with a decline of 11% in listener revenue, KPFK's operating losses nearly doubled from the comparable period in 2018. Revenues will need to increase 17% or expenses will need to be cut 17% or some combination thereof to get the station's budget back in balance. KPFT, the station also saw double-digit declines in listener revenue. I think it was 13% in that case, if memory serves. However, it also saw an 18% decline in expenses, driven primarily by declines in administration and development costs. The result was a narrow operating loss of less than $5,000 for 2019 year-to-date. Revenues will need to increase 1% or expenses decline 1% or some combination thereof to put the station's budget back in balance. WBAI. WBAI's operational losses continue to narrow and are now at approximately $25,000 per month or 23% of revenue. Revenue will need to increase 23% or expenses decline 23% or some combination thereof to put this budget back in balance. WPFW. Like WBAI and KPFT, WPFW's losses also narrowed during the review period. Uniquely, the station also reported an increase of in listener revenue of 5% year over year. This was offset by an increase in expenses of 1%, with a resulting loss of $25,000. In order to bring the operations into balance, WPFW will need to raise revenues 3%, cut costs 3%, or some combination thereof. Summary, all divisions of Pacifica are currently reporting operating losses. However, those operating losses are smaller than they were in 2018. The major difference between this year and last year is the loss of the Quest funding, which masked the prior operational results a year ago. Budgets for stations should not be designed around revenues which exclude bequests for the very simple reason that bequests cannot and should not be relied upon to induce institutional gains. As a network, Pacifica needs to reduce costs by 8% or find another 8% in revenue to break even. Given the challenging economic environment in which we find ourselves and the looming loan due in less than a year, it is advisable that we get busy with this immediately. Some stations have a much greater challenge than others, as this report reflects. And then there's some footnotes on the bottom, which are just to help with the analysis. So that was all I had in that report, and I thank you very much for yielding the time for that.
Thank you, Chris. That was an excellent report. Are there any questions? Would you take a question? if there is
sure,
one.
Sure, I'd be happy to, or we could just turn it over to Anita.
Mr. Chair, this is Paulina.
Go ahead, Paulina.
About 6 minutes ago, the National Finance Committee received a report from our interim executive director, and I would ask for this committee's permission to perhaps read it or have somebody else read it. It's very brief. I think it would take about calculating, you know, about a minute, 30 seconds.
I have it in front of me, James, if you want me to read it.
I just want to ask our Paul, do we need to add this to the agenda and go through that? Or can we be more informal?
Somebody may wants I read to it? Just add this in. They can just talk.
Yeah, may I,
okay.
may I use my time?
Why don't we,
Why don't
we have Paulina? Go ahead.
Yeah, I appreciate it. So Lydia Berzon says, she's sorry I can't make the meeting tonight. Below is a brief report. As far as I know, all the stations will be making their payroll. Okay. Regarding PPP, we are able to deal directly with SBA, and finally the WBAI withdrawal is recorded with SBA. But now there is the same time lag where Bank of America withdrawal is recognized and recorded by SBA, enabling our new application to go through. So I believe that's regarding our CARES Act, right, and PPP. Regarding the EIDL loan, previous assurance from the agent I spoke with on May 22nd that it was enough for her to confirm that our loan application was the viable one. I discovered on my follow-up call today that Bertolt, you know what, maybe this is actually not, I apologize if this is, I thought this was for open session, but I shouldn't be mentioning names. So apparently, as a matter of fact, I'm so exhausted, I was in a national broadcast for 2 hours. I'm not sure whether it's correct, appropriate of me, not to discuss finances, which is fine, but to name names. Can somebody give this newbie the right thing to do here? Because I do not want to get into a major doo-doo and mention something that shouldn't be mentioning, please. Thank you.
Chair, I have a suggestion. Dwayne Lark.
Go ahead, Dwayne.
I would suggest we suspend reading this, that each member read it, and I believe that the report does not have any germane items that's on our agenda. So for the sake of time, I would suggest that each member of the committee read it, and if they have any discussion about it, we can move forward.
Since we've never had a motion, why don't I just ask, if does anyone object to that? Hearing no one objecting, I guess we can go ahead. But before we do, I'd like to ask Paulina, I did not receive that. You said that was 10 minutes ago?
It's about 10 minutes ago now, and it was sent to the National Finance Committee list and the PNB, the whole PNB. And so should I forward it to you, Jim Fagerton?
Let me just make sure I didn't get it.
I'm doing that.
Yeah.
I just sent it. So you should get another copy. It should be a different one.
Go ahead.
You
okay.
Copied it previously.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You know, I also appreciate the committee station because I am exhausted, and you know, I don't want to make any mistake that would be sanctionable by the PNB or by this committee. So let me just stop volunteering. I'll just listen.
But we appreciate your care that you're taking here, and we also appreciate the hard work you're doing in producing these programs. So thank you for that. Okay, so now we're back to the agenda, and we can now hear our report from our interim chief financial officer, Anita Sims. And Anita, I scheduled 10 minutes for the report and 20 minutes for question and answers, but of course we can extend if need be.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
We provided the narrative for April along with the spreadsheet. I did find, I just want to be very open about it, did find some errors on it, so I'm going to have it redone and send it back out. But for the purpose of this meeting, I'll go ahead and present it. Again, the financial statement without any depreciation does show a consolidated net loss through April 30th, 2020 of $493,000. Again, when you compare it to prior year, where it consolidated was $25,000. So, again, a significant swing, if you will. Total revenue, again, is sitting at 6.4 as of April 2020. But prior year, for the same period, was 7.3. Again, a decrease of about $90,000.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. This is Sharon with the point of information.
Yes.
I just am not sure what document you're referring to. Are you looking at the financial documents that Chris sent out?
No, the financial narrative that went out. I think actually I sent it and Chris sent it also. It's a narrative along with the spreadsheet.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Now, I received that last night at about 6:30 or 7 o'clock. So if you want to look back, that's where you'll find it.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you.
And again, when we look at the expenses, total expenses here to date for April are 6.9 versus 7.3 in year to date April of 2019. So that was really a decrease of about $400,000. So in Chris's assessment, we really totally agree through that report. Again, listener support has decreased about $270,000 compared to prior year. And I agree wholeheartedly of the major donor revenue, if you will, because it does distort, though we will find another way to display it. Taking it not necessarily out of revenue, but perhaps in a separate line so that can stand out. Again, for all of us to be aware of that as you compare year to year. I'll take some questions right now instead of going through, because Chris has commented individually how stations are doing. And in my comparison, we really have the same information there.
Our poll for stack.
Go ahead, R. Paul.
Yeah. I think there's a point in the narrative where it says, I'm going to it here. Okay, I have so many spreadsheets open, and here we go. You read total expenses, and it shows a decrease. It says in writing of $40,000. You corrected that to $400,000.
Yes.
But also total revenue difference, 6.4 versus 7.3, that's not a $90,000 difference. That's a $900,000 difference.
Yeah.
Both
yeah,
of those
sir.
Items were an order of magnitude off. So,
right. Those are the ones that I'm correcting tomorrow, and I'll send it out again. Duly noted.
Any other questions?
I don't have a question, but I do have one comment, James.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, that $900,000 decrease, just to dissect it very quickly, is differences in major donor funding and bequest funding mostly. So if you that's the big difference between this year and last. And anyway, it obviously affects overall operations, but operationally, the station should be budgeting on the basis of not obtaining that revenue. But that's an item for later in the agenda.
Paulina to the stack.
Go ahead, Paulina.
Does that $900,000 difference reflect the sale of the Nakapon building?
No, that adjustment was not done in April. You will see it in May.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Go ahead, Dwayne.
Yes, I'd like for Anita to confirm that the assessment that Chris made for each individual station, and if I heard him correctly, I'd like for Anita to confirm that KPFT is within 1% of tolerance, meaning that it would need theoretically to cut 1% to stay within budget.
That's correct. Is you know the loss currently is less than $5,000 year to date.
Okay, correct. Chris, I wanted Anita to confirm that. I got your message.
Sorry, Dwayne.
Just wanted Anita to agree with you. That's all.
Yes, sir. I do agree with him.
Well, great, because that's very important for me to report, because there's a CC of at KPFT that's been really riding the business manager and the IGM to cut, when in fact all of us who know anything about budgeting know that KPFT is at a bare bones. And to be within 1%, would that not reflect that KPFT is within the best tolerance of all five stations?
I would agree with you. We have talked to see to make recommendations. I don't mind telling you, one of the areas that we continue to look at is the high cost of health insurance. And that's across the board.
Yes, ma'am. I've been out there for 5 years at the local and now trying to get it addressed finally at the national. But I'm accused of wanting to gut folks right. But yet I believe we could do an 80-20 plan, which is more consistent with industry standards across the, instead of 100%. But I thank you for that information, although I think it's going to fall on deaf ears at some of the majority at the KPFT local station board. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anyone else?
Teresa Allen for the STAC.
Go ahead, Teresa.
When I look at the figures that Grace Aaron sent out, and when I look at some of the comments that I have been sent by Ursula Rudenberg, I am concerned that we not try to rest on our laurels. It used to be that every station would be expected to make a little bit of extra. If we just go bare bones and we don't try and we don't even ask to raise more than what we need. We have 167. How much is it money that we owe CPB for?
137.
We owe $137,000. So if we just continue saying, okay, well, we'll just take the bare minimum according to what our budget was, then where are we going to get that money to pay that back? Where are we going to get the money to pay the audit? Because we have some of our units are consistently not having enough money for payroll, not having enough money for their health care benefits. I hesitate to even think about our pension plans right now, because I'm real unsure about that, so maybe I'd like to hear a report on that. But, I mean, I had heard reports before of people that were told, you can't take your pension out now. You put it in there, but, you know, we have to get it together before you can take that money. So I appreciate, Dwayne, that we're good right now. We're within that 1%. But I think that we need to continue to ask, because I still think we owe money. I think there was one central. Did we ever pay that one central services that we missed back in was it 2019, fiscal year 2019? Or have we paid all that back? Are we absolutely current at national office with what we owe?
We show.
Teresa, is that a question for Anita?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Thank you. We showed that central services for all the stations outstanding is $716,000. Some of that is from 2019.
And if we had that money, if people were current with their central services, we'd have money for the auditor, our insurance, NETA, our attorneys, CPB, engineers, engineering interest, and a fair amount of the money for the loan. And I am really concerned that we not rest on our laurels at KPFT. I love that station,
Duane
I want to pay our bills.
Duane Lark to the stack.
Are you done, Teresa?
Yes.
Go ahead, Duane.
Yeah, I certainly would wish the member would not focus on a station when we're having a national finance meeting here. Although I do want to point out that we've had four previous IGMs that absolutely did nothing to address these issues in the last 2 to 3 years, and I certainly did not hear the
point of order
speaking about that. Now, I did
point
not
of order.
What is your point of order?
Did you have the decency not to interrupt me?
I'll wait before I finish my point of order.
Some people have no shame. But nevertheless,
yes, that's true.
I'm
loud.
Please, let's remain maintain our decorum.
Now, I've listened to everyone and didn't interrupt them, but I can't be afforded the same decency and principles of civility. But yet these people want to claim that there are other folk who do bad things. But the people are listening. Nevertheless, Mr. Chair, the larger point would be that it's always a moving target when it comes to certain people who are in a position. That if you are performing at a wonderful level, that's not good enough. The fact that your budget is less than most, your employment costs and other indices are less than most, it's still not good enough. So I'm just trying to expose just what goes on at KPFT with respect to management. And this is really an affront in terms of this person who just got through speaking will never consider the fact that the action that was taken against WBAI cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. But yet this person talked about if we did this, we would have this. The $150,000 plus we spent on an unnecessary referendum vote, coupled
point
with the
order.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars that we spent defending WBAI.
Chair, come on.
I'm hearing a point of order. What's your point of order?
The point of the matter is if this man is going, if Duane Lark is going to insult people and make accusations, he should at least be on a time limit. He goes on and on and on.
You were not on
like
a time
limit. The whole issue of WBAI, for example, is just wrong.
Why should you have special privileges, and yet you want to put me on a time limit when you were not on a time limit? And you
made the same references
about what kind of money we could have. I'm telling you where the money went. You're talking about if we could or would have.
Okay.
We're not paying our bills, Duane.
Hold on. We can't have crosstalk here. This started out with a point of order, and now we're just having a free-for-all back and forth.
And Mr. Chair, and you let him continue on and on, and my point of order was that he was attacking people and saying things that were wrong.
All right.
And you let him continue at that.
Hold on. I'm going to say that I'm going to ask both parties to refrain from addressing each other by name and from making accusations of improper conduct, and keep it to addressing the facts. And that's fair game for discussion. However, we did have a time limit on this item. We don't have a timekeeper.
Mr. Chair, I take issue with the fact that you yoked her calling out my name two times in her previous mention. I didn't call anybody.
Chair, this is Sharon.
Only thing I gave was an example of how money have been spent.
Sharon, are you making a point of order?
Yes, I'm making a point of order.
Duane, we have to listen to a point of order. Go ahead, Sharon.
Agenda item is discussion of the information provided by Ms. Sims. I would like to stick to that topic while we have the time to discuss it.
Yes, I'm going to rule your point of order in order. Again, we don't have a timekeeper. Anita, did you have anything else that you wanted to report?
No, sir. I think I was finished with my report, but I would be happy to try to answer any questions that the board has.
I do believe you were finished. And so, yes, R. Paul.
Okay. I have a two things. One, would there be any objection to appending Chris Corey's narrative to the minutes of this meeting? It would just be an appendix, and I would just plug it in. Would there be any objection to that?
Do I hear an objection?
Doesn't sound like it. The other thing
so
is,
I'll move.
The other thing is the interim CFO said the outstanding, I think it's Central Services outstanding for all stations is at 760,000 or 716,000?
716,000.
So 716. Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions for our CFO?
Teresa Allen.
Go ahead, Teresa.
I would like to know right now how much KPFT owes Central Services and how much KPFT owes to, or how much each of the stations owe to, how much we all owe to NETA.
Our bill is sitting about a little over 200,000. It's in the outstanding accounts payable.
I think it's about 206,000.
Oh, this is Sharon for the staff.
I think she answered one part of the question. There was a second part of the question.
How much does KPFT owe Central Services?
I'm sorry, what station again?
KPFT. KPFT.
I have it. 41,536.
Okay. So how many months is that?
That is 2 months.
Okay.
You want me to take that?
Okay. And I'd like to ask the chair a question in a minute. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Teresa. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Sharon to the stack. Sharon was before Dwayne.
I'm sorry, Sharon. Go ahead. I apologize.
That's okay. Anita, I'm just curious, since our last NFC telephone call, which was about 2 weeks ago, have you received any payment from Pacifica? Has NETA received any payment from Pacifica?
Yes.
Pacifica paid $20,000.
Okay.
Good. Any
balance, yes.
Well, that's good to hear. At least something was paid. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Sharon. Dwayne?
Yes, Anita, could you tell the committee, as it was asked, how much KPFT owed? I did ask you to send me the numbers on each station, but I didn't receive it. And I'd like for you to report tonight, each station downline. We already know KPFT's numbers. Could you report the other four and what they owe?
Certainly. KPFA, total outstanding, $17,333. FK, $194,536.
WBAI, $294,927. And WPFW, $178,684. Clearly, what I'm hearing is triple digits on two stations, and KPFT and
FK are in basically the $17,000 range, $41,000 for KPFT and $17,000 for FK. Give me those numbers again so I can write them down.
Sure. Do you want me to send them by email?
That would be great because I think that it's important that the public hear it. As I said, some things fall to deaf ears of the performance of some stations to some people, but I don't think it does with all people. So thank you for stating the numbers, but please send them to me in writing.
All right, sir.
Sharon for the stack again, please.
Go ahead, Sharon.
Yeah, Anita, I hope you're sending them to everybody, so that would be nice to get those numbers. And I just wanted to clarify that the amount that KPFA owes, which is $17,300 and something, is its bi-monthly payment, so it makes that amount of a payment every month. So it's probably more like a recording thing. KPFA is current with its central services payments. And I also want to point out that there was a document. I understand that a correction was made, and I appreciate that, Anita. So I just want to clarify that a document that was sent out earlier had a higher amount that it showed for KPFA, and that was worked out by the business manager and Anita today. So I really appreciate that. And, yeah, I just wanted to say for the record that KPFA is making its payments on time, and that amount that's due is a payment that it makes twice a month, so it needs to just make it that payment.
That's correct. Thank you.
And
thank you, Anita.
Chair, I have another question, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Dwayne.
For the record, Anita, could you, if you have it in front of you, give KPFT's annual budget based, this is what these payments are based on, and give KPFA's annual budget and KPFA's annual budget and WBAI's annual budget so we can do some relativity there.
I don't have the annual budgets in front of me, sir.
Okay, very well. Just send both of those items in the same cover.
Sure.
Okay, thanks.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
I call for the orders of the day.
Okay. I think that's appropriate. I think we've used up the time allotted for this matter. And so now we would go on to the next item on the agenda, number 6, which is motion from James Sagerton. Shall I read it?
Yes, of course.
Well, very good. Okay, we have 30 minutes allotted for this, and that would bring us up to 10:15, which is our time to adjourn. Of course, we can extend if we wish. Okay, whereas currently the national office has over $500,000 in outstanding payables. We owe NEDA $206,000 currently as of June. KPFK was unable to make its payroll in mid-April. About $45,000 had to be taken from an affiliate program bank account to make that payment. There are no funds available to pay those funds back, putting the affiliate program in the position that it may not be able to make its next payroll. It is unclear if the archives payroll will be covered. KPFK is at least 5 months in arrears on its central service payments. It currently owes $184,000 in central service payments. The KPFK business manager stated on May 14th that up to the end of April 2020, KPFK listener support had declined by 11%. Its total income had gone down by 22%, although its payroll had increased by 5%. The KPFK business manager stated that this decline had very little to do with the coronavirus epidemic, as these numbers are mostly from before the lockdown. In the last two months, KPFK's income has declined precipitously. KPFK is currently bringing in only half the income necessary to meet its expenses. This means that KPFK is not able to make central services payments currently, is backlogging bills, and is having trouble meeting its own payroll. KPFK's monthly expenses are about $300,000. KPFK's income has only been $150,000 per month for the last 2 months. It is unclear as to whether Pacifica will receive any emergency stimulus loans or if there will be any other significant influx of revenue sufficient to make up for the heavy loss of KPFK, Central Service payments. Compounding this is the fact that every station, with the exception of KPFA, is seriously in arrears in its central service payments, with the possible exception of KPFT. We have no reserves. If our financial situation deteriorates any further, we may be forced to sell one of our buildings. Therefore, be it resolved that significant expense cuts be made at KPFK as soon as possible. These cuts should be at least 30%. Expenses must be less than income, as there are no resources to cover any shortfalls. Further, all units, including the national office, that have expenses that exceed income on a regular basis should provide a plan to the NFC, the PNB, the management team, and the IED to decrease expenses within 1 week. If a station's expenses are exceeding its income by 10%, the plan should show a decrease of 10%. As KPFK is currently running a $150,000 per month deficit, it is absolutely urgent that expense cuts be made immediately at that station. Other fundraising plans should be encouraged, but they would not be able to cover shortfalls of that magnitude. Thus, substantial expense cuts are unavoidable. And if I could, I don't know if I'm sure everybody noticed it, but there was a statement in here about the $45,000 taken from an affiliate program, and we just had notice from Anita that is being taken care of. So that information would not be correct.
Our poll for this, I won't make this a point of order, but our poll for a fast call for some comments here.
Yes, our poll. Go ahead.
All right. Is this directed to the Pacifica National Board? In other words, is this motion saying Pacifica National Board, whereas is, therefore, are we telling the Pacifica National Board to require this? Because
yes, obviously we can't require this. So yes, this would be an advisory request to the board to make this motion.
So the start of it should then become the NFC recommends that the PNB adopt the following motion, and then go into yours. Okay?
Correct. Thank you.
And if you want to, you could make an amendment to cut out the part that you think is no longer relevant.
Yes. Okay. And that would be the paragraph that I was just referring to. And let me see if I can find that again. Okay. About $45,000. Okay. Well, it was true that KPFK was unable to make its payroll in mid-April, and about $45,000 had to be taken from an affiliate program bank account to make that payroll. And then the next sentence should be stricken. There are no funds available to pay those funds back, putting the affiliate program in a position that it may not be able to make its next payroll. And so I think we can strike that sentence. And then the next sentence, it is unclear if the archives payroll will be covered, is a separate matter. So I think that can stay. It's the one sentence, it's the third sentence beginning with, there are no funds available to pay those funds back.
Point of information, this is Sharon.
Yes, Sharon.
Didn't Anita say that the archives payroll will be covered? I thought she just said that.
Let's ask her. Anita, did you just say that? Are you still with us?
Yes, I'm here. And yes, I did say that.
You did say that. Okay, thank you. So I guess then we could strike that sentence as well. Thank you, Sharon.
Okay, so the amendment I have is to remove, quote, there are no funds available to pay those funds back, putting the affiliate program in the position that it may not be able to make its payroll. It is unclear if the archives payroll will be covered. All of
correct.
That comes out?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Spoil of information, Mr. Chair, from Polina.
Yes, Polina.
Can we consult the Pacifica Interim Executive Director's report from tonight, which actually comments on whether stations will be making payroll or not? It says all stations should be making their payroll. As far as the our IAG knows, is that relevant as far as the wording of the motion?
Well, because we get that in a written report from the interim executive director, and she is not here, I don't think we could resolve the matter. So I would at this point err on the side of what I'm going to call caution and leave it in. And I don't think, well, it is, of course, quite serious to miss payroll, but I think the bigger picture that we're dealing with here is makes it in the overall picture, it makes it less significant about the payroll. But for now, I would leave it in because we just don't know. So
well,
we have one source that's saying. I'm just saying we have one source saying that it's not, and the other source said that I think she, you'd have to refresh my memory on the wording, but I think she said at this point we don't think any payrolls are going to be missed, or I don't recall the exact wording of that.
Yes, Mr. Chair, if I may, 15 seconds. So the written report by our interim executive director says that as far as she knows, all the stations will be making their payroll. You know, that's her written report. And so we just wouldn't want to misstate, you know, misconstrue that, or as a matter of fact, misrepresent the facts of the matter in a motion, in a recommendation from the Finance Committee to the board. Now, I don't want to, by no means do I want to misrepresent the gravity of the situation, because the numbers that we've heard so far about, especially KPFK's fund drive results, are dire, you know. I'm just concerned that we stick to the facts of the matter, and which fact are we going with? Right? So I'm done.
Yeah, and I guess I can say that the basis for this information was the KPFK business manager, who stated these facts in a meeting, but that did predate the interim executive director's statement. That as far as she knows, everything is okay. Now, I don't know if that means that KPFK business manager hasn't spoken to the interim executive director about it, or things have changed since that happened. So the question is, do we leave the ambiguity in there, or do we err on the side of the other side of caution and take it out because we're not positive that it's correct?
Mm-hmm.
And is that your motion? Do you have a motion to do one or the other?